Hey, it's the Rye Man coming to you with another Broncos Country Blitz. The Broncos lose at home to the Jets, 31-21, to drop to 1-4 on the season. And this one stings, not that all of them don't sting. But you had the Jets at home. You tried to hype the game up a little bit, you know, releasing the snow-capped helmets, kind of the new look, which looked pretty slick. The look was slick. The play that went with it, not so much. And you let the Jets come out after a first half lead. Again, the Broncos had the lead at the end of the first half, and you just let the Jets put up 23 points in the second half. Just ridiculous. And it's not like the Broncos didn't know what the Jets were going to do going into this. That whole Nathaniel Hackett against Sean Payton, give me a break, okay? First of all, give me a break on that. Nathaniel Hackett still had one of the worst coaching jobs last year, period. The Jets beat the Broncos, but not with Nathaniel Hackett as head coach. Like, I found that whole thing ridiculous. And he didn't do anything special on offense. We knew exactly what he was going to do. He did exactly what we thought he was going to do. We just couldn't stop it. And what were the Jets going to do? They were going to run the ball. We knew it, yet we could not stop it, especially in the second half. And once again, a play happens for the opposing team, breaks our team's back or our defense's back, and there's no adjustments. And it just seems like everyone just kind of loses hope on the team. You can see it. I was up there at the game with Adam with Cromwell Sports. We were there. And the second Breece Hall in the second half got that 72-yard touchdown to give the Jets a slight lead over the Broncos, you could just see it. You could just see the balloon deflate, pop, whatever. And it's like the entire Broncos sideline, you could just see by their demeanor, they already accepted what was going to happen. And I don't know what you have to do to change that. I don't know. Some people talk about a fire sale, try to go get Caleb Williams. Well, first of all, let's go over that real quick. People out there that are like, let's tank for Caleb Williams. You know what? He's already put out there who he wants to go to. The Broncos are not on the list. And if he doesn't go to one of the teams he wants to go to, he will go back to college. He has made that clear. So this whole idea that we're somehow still going to get him is absolutely ridiculous. Like, get it out of your head. Get that out of your head right now. I mean, there's one team looking worse than the Broncos right now, and it's one of his preferred destinations, and that's the New York Giants. So they look pretty in line to get him anyways. So get that out of your head. Plus, unless you're the Arizona Cardinals, I don't really think you tank for anybody in the NFL. I don't know if you really rebuild. I bet you if you asked any of the coaches in the NFL, you retool. I don't think anyone likes to use the word rebuild, even if it is happening. But Zach Wilson against the Broncos, 19-26 for 199 yards and a pick. Beautiful pick at the end of the game by Pat Surtain. I mean, PS2. That's going to be on a highlight reel for a while, the way he was able to pick off Zach Wilson at the end of the game. But Zach Wilson even gave the Broncos a chance to come back, and we still couldn't do it. And again, we knew what the Jets' plan was, run the ball. And what happens? Breece Hall, 22 carries for 177 yards and the long touchdown. Give me a break. I mean, and other than that, Zach Wilson had over 20 yards rushing. Dalvin Cook had over 20 yards rushing. They gave the ball to Carter once. You knew it was coming, and you could not stop it. That falls on Vance Joseph. And someone made the comment. I was listening to several things after the game. Someone made the comment, like, when you get back together with an ex a second time, does it ever work out any better? Typically not. Well, guess what? That's where we are with Vance Joseph. It's not working out. It's just ugly, and it's time to do something about it. Now, the offense shares the blame in this. Second half, they had five straight three and outs, or really four, and then there was a fumble on one of the two and outs. And there were turnovers that are unacceptable. They tried to get cute in the second half, and there was a reverse where P. Ryan tried to hand it to Mims. The pitch was terrible. People blame Mims, but it was a terrible pitch. Mims would have had daylight. Actually, Russell Wilson was out blocking. He was ready for a big gain, and the Broncos needed to get something going on offense, and it's like we just kept shooting ourselves in the foot. We had that. Mims on a punt return fumbled the ball right at the start of the game, gave the Jets the early 3-0 lead. Russell Wilson at the end of the game, fumble at the end of the game, Jets pick it up, return it for a touchdown, thus the 31-21 spread. And, you know, it's just stuff like that. We have such a low margin of error right now. It just can't happen. And the Broncos, even some little things, bad clock management at the end of the half. I even said it. We could have let it run down to the 2-minute warning. Now, the Jets screwed up themselves at the end of the first half, went down the field, ran out of time, couldn't get it spiked. But there was a chance we had to run it down to the 2-minute warning, and we could have milked the rest of the clock in the first half, and yet we still ran a play with like 2:02 to go when the play clock was still ahead of the game clock. We would have gone to the 2-minute warning. Like, even just little stuff like that, and you just kind of scratch your head and you go, what is going on? But the Broncos' run defense is still not there. Let's be clear. Teams know they can come in and run against us. We've had no answers. That falls on Vance Joseph. And it's really gap control. There are players not in the proper gaps, or they engage in blocks that they're supposed to like get off of to stay in their lane, so to speak, and they don't do it. Just simple stuff. Simple stuff. And you could say if it's like the first or second game of the year, okay, well, they're still getting their footing. It's Vance Joseph's defense. They're getting used to it. No. We're 5 games in. Like, this shouldn't be happening now. So that's just really disappointing considering where the defense was last year. I mean, it kind of started tapering off at the end of last year. But really, after a game like this, we should have beaten the Jets easily. We didn't. And it's interesting. Mike Greenberg, or anyone that watches Get Up on ESPN, he's talking about how bad Russell Wilson looked, the worst he's ever seen him, all that. I'm kind of getting tired of the show because it's this unnecessary talk about the Jets that aren't going anywhere either. They're going to be sitting with the Broncos in January watching the playoffs. Let's just be honest. And Zach Wilson looked terrible. Okay? He had one big play that he threw up to Garrett Wilson. Other than that, he did not look good. Yet, because the Broncos look silly, shoot themselves in the foot, you get to listen to this commentary on these morning shows, and it's just hard to listen to. But, you know, the Broncos have put themselves there. They're 1-4. I mean, people can say whatever they want, and you kind of don't have any defense right now. And the other thing on defense, the Broncos were playing 7 in the box. You're playing Zach Wilson. You're playing Zach Wilson. Put 8 in the box and force him to beat you. What are you doing? What are you doing, Vance Joseph? And it goes back to Sean Payton. Sean Payton should see that and walk up to Vance Joseph and go, what are you doing? What are you doing, Vance Joseph? I mean, we allowed over 400 yards of total offense to the New York Jets. That is unacceptable. Their running game is really good. Doesn't matter. That is unacceptable. We should have had this win easy, and that it was just hard to watch, especially in the second half when the Jets got that touchdown. You felt the stadium deflate. You felt the team deflate. It's like they knew what was coming. And so where do we go from here? Now, there are a few bright spots. Mims did not have his best game, obviously. But he's a future star for the Broncos. He's a rookie. He's allowed to have a couple hiccups here and there. And the other problem is the Broncos in the trenches, and then I'll get back to the other players that are the bright spots, but in the trenches, we're not winning. We are not winning in the trenches. Sean Payton preaches that, and we're not doing it. McGlinchey at right tackle, as of right now, one of the biggest free agent busts that the Broncos have had. And we've had quite a few over the years. Zach Allen, not looking much better right now. Not looking much better at all. Finally got a sack, but disappeared again in the second half. But back to the bright spots. Mims is going to be a future star. McLaughlin is becoming a future star. So we have bright spots on the offense. PS2 on defense, we know that. But there has to be a culture shift. There has to be a culture change. Now, from what I saw at the game, We have one of the highest paid wide receiver rooms in the NFL. Jerry Jeudy claims he's open every play. I don't know. I saw a lot of give up on routes, or just sloppy routes or plain routes. And when Russell Wilson got in trouble, there was no coming back to him to get the ball. And same with Cortland Sutton. I mean, where were you? One catch for 13 yards? That's it? That's it. And it was a late catch. He was a non-factor the entire game. So I look at that. Same problem, too. He didn't come back to Russ anytime he got in trouble. Like, I see Russ getting in trouble. And we'll get to Russell Wilson in a minute. I see Russ getting in trouble. And there's no help coming back to him. No help trying to come back and get the ball. You see that every week. Whatever other game you're watching other than the Bronco game, receivers are trained to do that. Again, they're not doing it. Don't know who that goes back to. Sean Payton, improper coaching. But it looks bad. It's like the second they see Russell Wilson under pressure, and he's gotten away from a few, they just stand there. Like, oh, play's over. And so, this is my thing. I don't believe in the whole fire sale thing. But I do believe you need to do certain things to change the culture. And kind of whatever the Broncos decide to do now at 1-4 after all these disappointing seasons, I'm going to be supportive of. But this is what I think they need to do. I think Sutton or Jeudy or both have to go. From what I saw at the game, they're part of the problem. They're just reserved to, oh, this is how it's going to go. And they're not difference makers. And the other problem as well is there's all this talk about we just need a quarterback. Okay, now excuse last year, or maybe not fully excuse last year, and you look at this year, they have been non-factors when they need to be factors, Jeudy and Sutton. So you say all this time you need a quarterback. Is the reality of the situation you're overrated or you're past your prime? Now, Judy's still young, so he's probably, I would put him in an overrated bust category. Sutton, probably past his prime at this point, especially from what I saw on Sunday. So I think you need to realistically look at getting rid of one or both, trading them before the deadline, move Mims up and Johnson, have the youth movement and move forward. Culture change. Offensive line. Now, Bowles played okay. Bowles played okay, but you wonder as well, you kind of saw him dejected right away. Is it someone you need to move on from because he just can't get his mentality turned around on how it should work as opposed to how he's seen it working since he's been in Denver? I don't know. And on defense, this might surprise a lot of people, but Justin Simmons, it might be time to move on. You know, he's a defensive captain. There should be some accountability there in terms of defensive assignments, gap coverage, leadership. I just didn't see it, and it might be time to move on from him. Statistically, he's one of the better safeties in the NFL. I don't know. He felt like part of the culture problem on Sunday. And same with Josie Jewell. We got him back. Yes, he's our basically handles the assignments and everything, sit and caller on defense, but he's out of his gaps. He's late to tackles. He misses certain tackles. He's lost a step through the injuries, and might be time to get rid of him too. And that's not necessarily a fire sale. That's taking some people that are supposed to be leaders, that are supposed to step up, that you're not seeing step up, whether it's emotionally, whether it's motivational speaking, whatever, and they're not. So it's time to move on from some of those people. Now, let's get to Russell Wilson. Now, Russell Wilson's still ranked top five quarterback in the NFL. And obviously, he's having a better year than he did last year. It looks more like the Russ we thought we were getting. And now, when something like this happens, obviously, the quarterback usually takes part of the fall as well. And Stedham, I think he'll be in there at some point this year. I don't think it'll be of any fault of Russ. I think the one thing Russ has had is he's had too many fumbles when he runs out of the pocket. He has to put both hands on that ball. I know he was looking to throw to try to make something happen in the last couple minutes here on Sunday. But he's obviously lost a step. I mean, he can still run. First half, he looked, I think it was Dave Logan on the call said, man, he looks like old Russ. I mean, he had 7 carries for 49 yards. So he can still run the rock. But he's lost a step in terms of when the pocket breaks down. Totally has. And now you look at Sean Payton's offense and go, he ran this with Drew Brees for years. Drew Brees is not a mobile quarterback. He shifts around in the pocket. And he was able to make it work for years. So then you go to, well, can you still make this work with an aging Russell Wilson, or do you make a youth movement a quarterback since you're going to make a youth movement possibly other places? And that's a good question. Like I said, I've liked Russ's play this year. You know, you kind of question the leadership a little bit. There's a whole thing about Marshawn Lynch that came out. You wonder if Russell Wilson's kind of changed that. Now, against the Bears, he was motivating people. You could see that. I didn't see as much of it against the Jets. So, do you make a move there to change culture? And I don't know. That's going to be a Sean Payton call. Can this year be disastrous, but enough hope to grow on and come back and reset a system next year? Now, I'm sure when Sean Payton came in, I think years from now, we're going to find out that the situation was way worse than we realized. Like the whole, like I said, at the starting of this, Nathaniel Hackett versus Sean Payton, didn't buy it for a second. Give me a freaking break, okay? But I think Nathaniel Hackett's coaching job was still one of the worst in NFL history. And I think it was so bad last year in terms of breaking down any positive culture, lack of accountability, lack of leadership, lack of attitude. I think Sean Payton's still building that back. And I think we will find out that he came in understanding that this is going to be a plan where he has to build it up over 2 or 3 years. I think we're going to find that out. And the question is, can you do it with Russell Wilson, who still has a few years left in the tank? He says he wants to stay in shape and still play into his 40s. So if that's true, you could have a few years left with him. You have to get the offensive line fixed. I mean, you have to get the offensive line fixed. McGlinchey bust. I don't know what you do there. And the rest of the offensive line hasn't played great. Garrett Bowles has been on and off. You have to get that fixed if that's your commitment. Hey, you know what? Russ, when he has time, he's making the proper reads, making the proper throws. Let's build up the offensive line or figure out what the problems are and get it fixed. And the other thing, too, like Russell Wilson has the outlet receivers, the running backs. But where are the quick slant wide receiver? Like, even last night, I was watching the Raiders and the Packers, and I wanted to watch that before I did this podcast because I would have felt a lot better if the Raiders lost too. They didn't lose, but even the Raiders, who in some people's minds were having a worse season than we are, although they have a better record now, like they had the quick slant passes going. And I don't know where that is in this offense. And I know it was there in New Orleans. I watched Drew Brees and Sean Payton operate that thing in New Orleans. I like to watch the Saints games. They were on Sunday night a lot. It was there. Where is it? So then you go, is Sean Payton past his prime? I don't think so. I think it's a bigger mess. Like I said a minute ago, it's a bigger mess than I think we're going to realize for a while that he has to clean up. But there are a couple good young stars on offense. There is a great young star in PS2 on defense. And I shouldn't just say that. Let's go PS2. Baron Browning, obviously, is a bright spot on defense when healthy. Nick Benito's a bright spot. So we have people on the defensive side on the ball to build around as well. Jonathan Cooper needs to improve in a few areas, but he could be one of the young bright spots as well. So we have bright spots on both sides of the ball. We're just going to have to pull the trigger, and it's going to be one of those things. Nobody likes change. Nobody likes overhaul change, but I think we're just going to have to do it. And really, I'm not going to keep saying rock bottom because we keep feeling like we hit a new rock bottom. And I think it's just because there is hesitancy to make the culture change I think we need to make. I think that's what this loss comes down to. I think that's what the other losses come down to. I think Sean Payton has gotten the message across to certain players, but I think there's other players that are just stuck in the rut and they're not going to get out. And it's probably time for them to move on. So we'll see what happens. Now, like I said, the Broncos snow-capped helmet look with the Color Rush jersey, that was awesome. That was a cool look. Having the old D at the 50-yard line, that was cool. Having the end zones painted white, first time for all that, was really cool to see. But that's what makes it, like I said, all the losses are tough. But when you do something like that and you're introducing something new that's brand new to the team and all that kind of stuff, you want to kind of end it on a win. And now, unfortunately, we don't get to do that. The first time we ever did any of that, we ended with a loss. And, you know, that's not what you want to see in terms of team history and stuff like that for little moments here and there. You know, like how we celebrated the Super Bowl 33 team against the Commanders and we lost that game. It just takes some of the excitement and the recollection out of some of those events when you lose the game. And I think that comes from a just memories you want to enjoy standpoint. I think it comes from a competitive standpoint. And so we need to get the culture turned around in terms of that. When we're doing special things, we're doing special recognitions and stuff, and our home field advantage should be our home field advantage. We've lost three games at home when we've had the halftime lead. That cannot happen in Denver. That cannot happen a Mile High. That was always one of the Broncos' advantages. Always. And it's completely gone now. And again, coaching, conditioning, I don't know what, but that doesn't seem to be there in the second half, and it always has been. And again, is it conditioning? Or is it just a culture thing? Players that are on the roster, when we get behind, they just check out. I mean, another thing in the second half, zero pressure on Zach Wilson. Like, you know that guy throws picks like there's no tomorrow when he gets pressured. And we didn't have any pressure after having a stellar first half of pressures. Zach Allen got a sack. Nick Benito got two sacks. I mean, we were getting pressure on him, and then it just disappeared. And you got to wonder where that went. Like, what happened? Is it because we were getting gouged in the running game? Because instead of making sure players had gap control, you just decided to back off? I mean, that's crazy to me. That's crazy to me. And it's just little things like that. All these things I've mentioned, kind of going back and forth on this podcast, but all these things I've mentioned, it just doesn't build a good culture, and it's time to make certain changes with certain players. So I will wait and see what Sean Payton does. I don't think he's going to do anything this week. Obviously, we have the Chiefs on a short week. We're probably not going to touch anybody this week. But I got to think after the Chiefs, there will be some big changes. And apparently, before the game and after the game, there's been some rumors. Adam Schefter's posted that there could be major changes coming in Denver, personnel-wise, other moves. And you know, you wonder what that does to a locker room. But like, really, honestly, the Broncos are going to hold one of the longest streaks of not being in the playoffs in terms of current teams. The last time they were in the playoffs, I mean, the last playoff appearance they had was Super Bowl 50. And it's been nothing since then. You have to expect those changes as players, right? We're continuing to lose. It's one of the longest losing streaks the Broncos have had in their history. Yeah, I would expect things need to change. And maybe instead of players, it almost sounds like players were like concerned or distracted about that. Maybe you should take that as an accountability thing and use it as motivation to step up. And again, back to the culture thing, you don't get that feeling that that's what it's doing for the players. You don't feel the leadership stepping up. And that means it's time for a movement onto other players and find other leaders. And we'll see what that looks like. But after a 1-4 start, when it should have been a 4-1 start for the Broncos, I am going to basically support any moves that are made at this point. Because while change is uncomfortable for many, it can't keep trending the way it is for the Broncos. It can't. And like I said, the whole Caleb Williams tanking, all that, forget that. Like I mentioned at the start, he's already chosen. He's not going to go to the Broncos. And that's been part of the Broncos' problem. Hey, oh my gosh, let's bring in this quarterback. Oh, it didn't work. Hey, let's try Drew Lock. Oh, it didn't work. Case Keenum. Oh, it didn't work. Let's change the quarterback again. You know, quarterback's going to save everything. Okay, we have changed the quarterback more times than I can count since Super Bowl 50. And guess what? It hasn't changed anything. Okay, now we can debate whether any of those were MVP caliber quarterbacks or anything like that. But that's part of the Broncos' problem, is panicking, changing, not setting a culture, not establishing anything, and just resetting every year. So as painful as it is, we probably need to make the youth movement, which is not making a quick change again. It's focusing on younger players on the roster and allow Sean Payton to build the team in his vision. That's where we stand. That's what we need to do. And honestly, that's why you need to make the decision about Russell Wilson, because I don't know, outside Caleb Williams, unless you love somebody else in the draft, and the Broncos don't have a lot of draft capital, are you really going to make a bunch of trades to go get somebody? Part of our problem is we've missed in the draft, and we've had a lack of draft picks. So I don't think you want to go do that. I don't think that's going to be part of the move, guys. I don't think that's going to be part of the move, Broncos country. So, it's disappointing. And the other thing, too, so many Bronco fans calling in on these post-game shows saying, well, I'm done with Denver. I'm going with Chiefs. I'm going with Disney. You know what? Then you weren't a true fan to begin with. Okay? Sorry, I'm going to call you out. You weren't a true fan to begin with. You know what? As much as this stinks, I have so many memories. Like, it's part of my culture, the Broncos are. Like, I've had so many memories with my father, gone but not forgotten. My grandmother, who was a huge fan, gone but not forgotten. And some of the best memories in my life actually involved the Broncos somehow. And I'll tell you a quick story. The Broncos, back with Kyle Orton, beat the Giants in 2009. And unfortunately, my grandfather just passed away. My grandmother was by herself, so my father and I went over, and we would, one of us would volunteer to stay there with her until she figured out where she was going to move and everything like that. And there was the night of the Giants and Broncos game. I believe it was on Thanksgiving. I could be wrong, but I believe I'm correct on that. And the Broncos beat the Giants. And my dad, myself, and my grandmother all watched the game together. It was the three of us watching the game. It had been a tough year. And it was one of the best nights. All of us just rooting, getting to watch a win. And, you know, it's moments like that that I'll never forget, that I'm not going to give up on my team. Okay? This is rough. This is a rough spot, but I'm not giving up. Like, I will be here. I will sit in the boat as long as I'm alive and breathing. I will be a diehard Broncos fan, Broncoholic. It will never go away. As tough as these last few years have been. Because the one thing the NFL shows you, eventually gets turned around. Eventually gets turned around. Unless you make several questionable moves after questionable moves, which maybe some of the Broncos moves over the years fall into that category. But honestly, unless you're the Lions or the Browns or something like that, you know, it turns around for you eventually. It turns around team-wise eventually. And I mentioned those two teams because even the Browns have pulled themselves out of that hole a couple times. Now, they've made more questionable decisions, maybe, so we'll see if they stay kind of trending in the right direction as the years go on, doing the whole Deshaun Watson thing. But the Lions, talk of the NFL, it took way longer than people wanted, but now the Lions are a powerhouse or appear to be heading that way, a team to deal with. So even if you have to wait a really long time, history shows that eventually the team will get turned around. So we'll be here through the winning seasons, we'll be here through the losing seasons, and always support the Broncos. And I hope the rest of you out there in Broncos country, the loyal fan base, will do the same. Until next time, once again, the Broncos lose to the Jets 31-21 to drop to 1-4 on the 2023 season. And this is the Rye Man with the Broncos Country Blitz. And remember to find us on Facebook at facebook.com/groups/Broncos Country and on Twitter at DDCR_BCB.